Good morning. Welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church for those of you who are visitors. We're honored this morning to have Lance and Lynn Anderson come and give us a presentation on their mission work in Haiti. And immediately following the church service, we'll have some coffee and cake out there kind of as a reception, so please join us for that. Secondly, maybe mark your calendars ahead of time. The church will be sponsoring a marriage simulcast entitled I Still Do, and that date is October 17th. Any other announcements? I want to read from Philippians 2:1 through 9. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, let us be of one spirit. Let us be of your spirit. Let us be of one mind. Let us understand your truth and what you would have us do today together in unity in Christ Jesus. Amen.
I invite you now to stand. Sing with us our opening song.
All your ways are good, all your ways.
You may be seated. Children, this is the time in our service for the children's moment, so come right on up here at this time and find a place up here to sit and listen to a message especially for you guys.
Morning.
Morning.
Okay. We're going to get... Kayla, I need you to do something for me. Will you come over here? And will you put your hand down here and see if you feel anything? What do you feel?
Air.
You feel air? How many of you see air?
None.
Well, but she says it's there. How do we know it's there?
We feel it.
She felt it. Well, you know, I brought this along. I thought maybe, whoa.
Windmill.
Thank you.
It's a windmill.
Yeah. Do you think that helps you see that there's actual air coming out of that?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you something that I bet you don't know. The Holy Spirit, the word that the Holy Spirit comes from, means wind. And we hear in the New Testament that when the Holy Spirit came to the people, there was a mighty wind in the house. They said a house in the scripture that I read. But I think we'll turn off that wind. But, you know, one of the things that's the hardest about Christianity, I think, is that when we believe in Jesus and we get the Holy Spirit, how do we let people know that that Holy Spirit is blowing through us? Anybody have any ideas? How do people know?
Paper.
Well, maybe on paper. Anybody else? Any other thoughts? If you want to know that there's wind outdoors, where do you look? Do you look at the trees? Do you look at the flags? Do you look at the wind socks? Well, if you want people to see that Holy Spirit blowing through you, then it's how you act as you go about your day. And if you love and care for people, and there's a verse in Galatians that talks about the fruit of the Spirit, which is what comes, how people see the Holy Spirit working in you. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. How many of you love? Joy. You feel joy? Peace? Patience? How many of you are patient? It's not always easy, but you know, if Jesus is inside you, patience will come. And it's hard, and you got to know that it's going to come. Faithfulness, coming here, sharing with one another. Goodness, gentleness, self-control. You see, those things are the things that the Holy Spirit allows us to do, and they are the things that show to the people out there that are not Christian that that's what you are, that you're a child that believes in God. You're a child of Jesus. And so some of those things take some practice, but you have the Holy Spirit to help you. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that you sent to each one of us. When Jesus left the earth, we needed something to keep us on the right track, and so you sent the Holy Spirit. Help us to display that Holy Spirit wherever we are, that we love, show patience, kindness, and be the kind of children that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's take a moment to stand and reach out and greet those around us. And we'll continue singing in just a minute.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a thought, taste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my
Let us pray. Almighty Father, what a joy it is to be in your house this morning. Father, there are many among us that have physical concerns about what's going on with their body, but our reliance on you gives us every reason to rejoice in the God that you are. We have members and those that we love that have surgery coming, and that can be scary, but we know that because of the God you are, we can rest assured in the promises that you have given us, and the promises are eternal and are always kept. We ask your presence be more than obvious with the ladies that are down at the park this morning, with IFCA, with the Ice Cream Social, and the men that are there, and those that they will touch, that a morning at the park will be more than just enjoying some music and enjoying your beautiful creation, but getting to know you and the Savior that you sent to save each and every one of us. We're so joyous to celebrate the missions that we're involved with today. Having gotten word from Scott this week that all is well in Africa and that the word and the name of Jesus is being preached to those who have never heard of you or your son, that he is being introduced there and getting a chance this morning to look at what's going on with efforts in Haiti to help the people there struggle a little less, but in the process, learn to rely more on you. We ask that you would bless this offering that we are about to take, that we would have the wisdom to use it in the ways you would have it be used, that we would use the monies here given so freely and so joyously, that it would be used to further the work that we do in your name. We ask all these things in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In All right. Thank you. Good morning, church. Thank you for letting me do this. I don't stand very still very often. I tend to roam. When I was a teacher, the kids used to have to try to follow me. Sometimes I'd get up on desks and things just to keep their attention. I promise not to do that today. But I also made a promise to God that as I became a pastor, I said I would never take a pulpit or speak before I asked for his blessing. So let's pray very quickly. Father God, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for their heart that beats for missions just as you have commanded it to do. And Lord, as I speak today, may my words be your words and your words be mine, that I would only say and do what you asked me to do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first I'd like to introduce us, well, me. I'm here. My name is Lynn Anderson, and my husband Lance and my daughters Grace and Hope, we are Haiti Care Mission, and we are one of your ministries that is working in Haiti. We are not an independent ministry. We are a ministry of churches that support us and go to Haiti. So this is your ministry that goes to Haiti. And so we'd like to give you a little information about that this morning and a little report. Lance and the girls, I apologize, we got double booked this morning. They are over at another church in town. They will be over in a while with you at the social. So I will be here to give you a little introduction. And to get started, I'd like to just wrap your brains a little bit about Haiti. I want to take you there through a short video. It's about 3 minutes, and you're going to see the sights of Haiti through this video, and you'll hear some of their worship and their praise. So this is the kids at a school that you'll be hearing them doing their morning prayer every morning before they start their school day. I'm going to come down there for a minute. That is their Bible chapel program, and the kids get so excited to do worship. They sing with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength, and with all their might. Let me tell you, they love to sing. So I've got a short PowerPoint to show you some of the things that we do as Haiti Care Mission, to kind of give you an update of what we actually do. Some of you are probably new since the last time we've been here. Haiti Care Mission is an independent mission. We are non-denominational. We serve in any of the churches and missionary opportunities that we can. We don't go with any denomination. And we have sewing groups around the United States that create items of love for the children of Haiti. So it's my husband, my daughters, and myself, and we will travel to Haiti. Lance goes about 6 times a year. The girls and I make it there 3 to 4 times a year. And when we go, we actually take these items as our tools. They are our tools that we use. We teach a gospel lesson with the children, and then we give them something. Not as just a straight handout, but as a tool for them to remember. Oh, that lady came and she told us that message about Jesus. This is what this was about. And it really speaks to them. So through the PowerPoint, I'll show you some of the things that we do. Wait, that's not ours. I give those media people all the credit because I don't like to deal with technology, so I'm very thankful they're there. There we are. That is actually the mountainside of Haiti. That's one of the restaurants. There's not many. That's one that we go to every time we're there. It's the Baptist Mission, and they also have a ministry and micro enterprise. So you can go on to the next one. What we do is we're trying to share the love of Jesus with the children. Our philosophy has always been, since we began, that if we can touch the lives of the children of Haiti, they will bring the message home of hope to their parents. And as their parents become interested and know the love of Jesus, they'll share it with their community. And then a village will be changed. So we are believing that we can start with the children of Haiti. There's a long-known belief in Haiti that children can't learn. So the children have never been given much attention or much thought as to whether they can even process things. But I, as a teacher, I can't believe that. So when we go, we focus on the children. So that's our goal. And when we go in, this is basically the one verse of the Bible that speaks to what we do. We have received so much comfort from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have our salvation in him. We have our hope in him. He provides everything we need. And it's our job to share that comfort with others. So we go to share the comfort and the love of Jesus with others. And that comes from 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. When we go to Haiti, the handmade tools that we have are dresses that sewing groups like yours have made and sent down to us. We have the dresses are the most known things. We started those at the very beginning. So we have many groups making dresses of all sizes for the children. And they are very excited to get the dress because in Haiti, if you have a church outfit, a school outfit, your play outfit really isn't there. So when we give them a dress, they have something that they can go to market in. They have something that they can go to the well in. Otherwise, they only have those two other outfits to wear. So when we give them one more dress, it's such a blessing to them. There are kids that can't really leave their area, their village, their home because they don't have anything to wear. So they are getting another outfit. And they're always very excited. Most of them will put them right over top of their school uniform as soon as the teacher says they can, and they will run home with their dress on. But they can't usually put it on while they're at the school day. So we have the dresses. We also have backpacks. This started about 4 years ago. One of the missionaries that's a friend said, we really would like to give every child in our school a backpack this year. And we said, we don't make backpacks. And I put it in the newsletter. And within a few months, we had 600 backpacks. Homemade backpacks that we took down. And so we've been able to give them backpacks. One group said, we can't make them, but we found a really cheap company in Wisconsin that makes them for $1 a piece. They bought us hundreds of them and said, take these in. And we had him imprinted with Jesus Loves You in Creole. So we take backpacks in. When you live in Haiti in a shack, you take everything that's important to you with you everywhere you go. You don't leave anything at home. So those backpacks are invaluable to them. We also have on the next, let's see, the next slide is shorts. We have a pattern where you can take an old t-shirt, a man's t-shirt that we're ready to toss here in the United States, and turn it into men's, boys' shorts. And the boys love them. They just look like a pair of PE shorts. And some of the groups are very creative with taking the logo and putting it on the leg. And they're just comfortable shorts. Again, a pair of play shorts that these boys can wear rather than their church outfit or their school outfit. So it works really well for them. And the boys love them. We have one church group where the ladies had been sewing for years, and they got a little irritated. And they said, well, what can we do? And so they said, let's go make toy cars. And they came up with a very simple car design. And it's a wooden car, so it doesn't break easily. And they stack, actually, on top of each other for packing. So they make wooden cars for all the boys. And for many of these kids, that's the only toy they have. So they really enjoy that. And to see them get on the floor and not know what to do with it, we get on the floor and we play with them and show them, boom, boom, and we make the car go. And they think it's hysterical because they've never seen this before. Another very, very valuable item is the flip-flops. And my girls go to the Christian school in town, and they decided to do a shoe drive for us and collected 300 pair of flip-flops in a month. And those will take care of an entire school of kids will have shoes now because of that. So it kind of was a neat partnership to put them together. But the flip-flops are amazing. They don't go with shoes if they don't have them, which, as any of you in the health profession know, is in just an outlet, an opening for every kind of disease you can think of. So if we could put a pair of shoes on their feet, we are protecting them from some very life-threatening diseases. And then we also as Haiti Care, we don't just do the children's ministry. That's our main thing. We also have many trips where Lance goes and does construction, electrical. We do office work for the missionaries. Lance had a very unique opportunity where he got to teach at a Bible school's pastor's conference, where he got to encourage the pastors. If you could imagine life as a pastor in the United States being difficult, finances, resources, people, now you're in a third world country, how much more difficult that must have been. So he was able to go in and give them encouragement and just give them a spiritual shot of encouragement so that they could keep going. So we have had opportunities to do that. And more opportunities keep opening for us. Anything else on that PowerPoint? Ways that you can help. Things that make it personal to you. Some of the things that you are already doing is the sewing groups. For groups down in Florida where we are, we put a label on every single dress. So we have groups that do the ironing and the sizing. Shopping. This is a good one for you guys up north. As things are clearanced up here down to 50 cents for a pair of boys' shorts, it's a perfect time to buy shorts for the kids of Haiti. 50 cents, I know my sewing ladies in here will tell you, they can't make them for 50 cents. They can't probably make them for a dollar's worth of their time. So if you find shorts, and I'm just knit shorts that are simple, easily sized to different size kids, lightweight for traveling. Jeans and denims don't really travel very well. We pay by the pound for everything we ship. So if you're thinking lightweight shorts, things on clearance, those are a great time to pick things up for Haiti Care. And spreading the word to others who may not know about it, that may be a sewer or maybe a shopper. I have one lady at my home church, and she said, my mom's been looking for something to do. Her mom is not a Christian, doesn't go to our church at all. She said, Mom, would you like to be a shopper? This lady goes and shops every store for every sale, and she'll bring us back her treasures, and she's always spot on. She gets only what we tell her to get, and she comes back, and she's so happy. She doesn't realize she's serving the least of these when she does it, but I'm believing she's going to understand it before the end. If you are a traveler that travels down from the north down to us, we'd love to have you bring packages down to us because it saves, again, shipping costs to get them to us. And, of course, prayer covering is very important. Every time we begin to plan a trip, the enemy is on the prowl wanting to stop us, and he'll put roadblocks in our way, and he'll put stumbling blocks in our way, and prayer is what gets us over those stumbling blocks. It's what gets us through. When we land on the ground in Haiti, there's always the issues with customs. Your prayer is what walks us straight through customs. It is absolutely unfathomable not to have a prayer covering. Other things that Haiti Care does is we have been helping out in the Ukraine. We had a connection with some pastors in the Ukraine, and because of the war there, a dollar in the United States is $30 in the Ukraine. They can't get shampoo, soap, toothbrush. So we've been able to make a connecting point between a ministry that gives to us is now giving to us, and we're passing it on to the Ukraine. We love Haiti, and that's our focus of our mission, But we also give to wherever the need is, wherever God leads us. And we believe that when God opens a door, we're not to stop and say, maybe, we're to walk through. So we do that. Give you a little state of the report of Haiti. We were here probably, I think, 2012, and at that time it was just 2 years past the earthquake. Since then, Haiti has seen some improvements. But what I always try to get people to understand is don't expect Haiti to improve the same way the United States does. Haiti was Haiti before the earthquake. It's still Haiti now. Their culture and their climate is extremely different than us. Their resources are extremely different. So when it comes to cleaning up earthquake debris, if you don't have a dump truck and you don't have road working material, the machines that are, the people doing the labor are people. They move one rock at a time out of the way. If you're rebuilding a house, it's one stone at a time. So they don't have the equipment we have. But there is a lot of progress being done. The airport was demolished in the earthquake, and that is completely up and very, very nice looking. It's functional. So the airport has been extremely refurbished. Security, we see more police and more traffic officers, security officers in Haiti now than we did before, as well as roads are being rebuilt. And so they're working on the infrastructure first. But we can't expect them to do how we want to do it. We don't go into Haiti and expect to see instant change because we're there. We're going to go alongside them and do it their way. And so it's hard for us to wrap our mind around them living that way, but that's life in Haiti. And so when we see the improvements like roads and sidewalks, that's a big thing. That's really a big thing for us. You're inconvenienced, I'm sure, by this road work out here. In Haiti, this would take 5 years to complete a stretch of road this size, just because of the equipment. So we have to always keep that in mind when we think about how progress is in Haiti. There are many new homes being built by the government for the earthquake victims. We used to go and City Park would be completely full of tents, and now there are no tents in there. It's a functional park again. They've built housing out in the outskirts of town for them to live in. A little state of the mission of HaitiCare Mission, where we stand right now. Our mission is going very well. My husband and I both completed our pastor's license. In Haiti, they don't understand the word missionary. They don't. That's a foreign concept to them. But if we can go in and say we're pastors, that is more of a position where they say, oh, I know what that means. You're here to help us. You're here to guide us. When they hear missionary, they think, what are we? Horrible people, you have to come. And they don't understand it. So when we can go in and say we're pastors, that's a big plus for us. Also, the state of what we're doing as a mission is we're doing more outreach. We're trying to find more places. In September, we will go and only have a trip where we work on connections. We're meeting with the National Church to find out where can we help you more? What can we do to serve you? So we're just going to go and spend 5 days connecting with people in September. And our inventory, we're very blessed right now that our inventory is up where we can say we can pack for a trip without waiting for packages to come in. There's been many times where we've said, we've got to have so many more dresses before we can pack. But now we have enough on hand that we can pack and be ready to go and then refill after we've gone. So it's very nice to know that. So I just wanted to speak with you for just a few minutes about how we've been called to be missionaries to Haiti. But I want to challenge you to remember that you are also a missionary here. Because God, when Jesus spoke in Matthew 28:19-20, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all men. He didn't say, Lynn and Lance, you go to Haiti. That's what I want to have happen. That was a command to us as the church. And when Jesus spoke it, it was a command. It was not a wishful thinking or a suggestion. It was a direct statement. It was Jesus giving us our marching orders as a church. And it's our marching orders for each one of us. It's not just for those who come to your church and say they're missionaries, or Scott and Robin when they go to Africa. That needs to be personal in your heart. And that's my challenge for you today, is to make missions personal in your heart. And you may be thinking, God's not calling me anywhere. But I dare to challenge that a bit and say, what about the lady at Hy-Vee that's scanning your groceries? What about the speaker? What about the server at Applebee's? What about your boss or your coworker? Those who might be struggling, you have been sent to be the missionary to them. And you are the missionary. It says, go and make disciples. And now you're probably thinking, yeah, that's great. I'll do that. How? So I have three simple things. I call them the three L's of missions. You need, it's your lifestyle, it's your love, and it's your lips. Through the life you live, live a lifestyle that is higher than the world. We are to be salt and light in the world. We are to be in it, but not of it. We are to have a standard above. My kids have asked me many times, why are you the only one who pushes the cart back to the grocery store? Everyone else leaves it out in the middle of the parking lot. Because that's what I do. That's honor. I'm honoring that store by doing that. I'm honoring God by not just trashing someone else's place. How come you're the only one who never steals all the pens from work? Everyone else takes the pens home. God didn't call me to do that. I am to live in a lifestyle higher than the rest. And the reason we do that is so that it will draw people to you and say, why do you do that? You know why? Because I know something. I have a Savior. I have hope. I have a future. So we need to live a lifestyle that is higher than the world. Second, we need to have our love show the world what Christianity is. We need to go the extra mile for people. We need to be the one showing the kindness, showing compassion. So with our love, we can gain trust. No one's going to care what you know till they know that you care. They don't care that you know Jesus if you don't care about them. You need to build up a rapport with people by showing them love. And as you show them love, they're going to ask you, why do you have such hope and such future? Why are you so different? So through our lifestyle and through our love, if we're honoring God in those two things, he's going to allow us the opportunity to use our lips. And if we use our lips when God says, use your lips to do something, he's the one speaking. It's not really us. And I know Moses was quite scared and said, I can't do this. I stutter. I stumble. I'm not going to be the one speaking. But God said, I'm with you. And it says it in that same verse in 28, Matthew 28. I will be with you even till the end of the age. So when the opportunity comes, you open your mouth and you let God speak through you. I don't know. I'm not the Savior. I know that. But I can tell you who the Savior is. I'm not going to save people. But if I use my lips, I can tell them how to be saved. So we need to use our lifestyle, our love, and our lips to share the love of Jesus around this world and around this city. And that's my challenge for you. Because we may be the ones going to Haiti, but God has a mission field for you right here. And I want to challenge you this week to just really look and search, where am I supposed to be serving? And where can I serve a little bit more here? So thank you for letting us come. Thank you for everything you've done for us. We are blessed and we are very honored to be part of this church. And we just pray that you guys are, you know, when you bless others, you receive a blessing back. So we pray that blessing onto you as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks for that. We look forward to Lance coming back, but thanks for sharing with us. We try to talk quite often here about the different levels of mission work, and we can, some people can go, some people can help pay, but we can all pray for it. And so it's really exciting to hear what's going on with Haiti Care. Headline, Life on Mars. I'm sorry, I made that up. That's not a real headline, but this is. The June 18, 2015 issue of the International Business Times tells us that NASA experts believe there is life on other planets. The administrator of NASA, Charles Bolden, confirmed the corporate belief held by many within the organization that life exists beyond Earth. Later in the article, NASA's chief scientist, Ellen Stofan, declares, we're not talking about little green men here. We're talking about little microbes. We know where to look, we know how to look, and in most cases, we have the technology. What do you suppose it's going to take for those scientists to turn their technology on the inner workings of a pregnant woman? A July 30, 2015 story on NBC News talked about the dismay expressed after a New York judge dismissed a suit requesting legal personhood for chimpanzees. It seems an organization identified as the Non-Human Rights Project asked a judge to order the release of two chimps named Hercules and Leo from the local zoo and to declare their situation illegal imprisonment. But not to worry, they've already filed their appeal. Many of us have seen the horror coming out of Planned Parenthood, doctors and administrators on video discussing the harvesting and selling of human fetus material that results from abortions. But at least Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, is outraged. The target of her anger? The lowlifes who snuck in there and covertly filmed them. They edited that film to make it look like Planned Parenthood was harvesting baby parts. And how they so cleverly reword things. You see, they think that if they say fetal cadavers, that's a little less harsh than dead babies. And I can hear some of you out there saying, Chris, get on with it. What's all this political talk? Well, if the right to and sanctity of life is a political topic, then I know which side I'm on. If we're going to give human rights to chimpanzees while ignoring the human rights of humans, okay, I'll change topics. Military chaplains are now being forced to choose between their faith and their career, being ordered to perform gay marriages. Bakeries and flower shops are being fined and shut down. Yet many still ask, why should we be engaged in the gay marriage battle? What does it hurt if two or three people who love each other want to get married? And we claim marriage is defined in the Bible, and it is. Genesis 2:12 tells us of the time when God initially defined marriage for us, and then it's retold to us in Matthew by Jesus himself. Most of us say we support traditional biblical marriage for life. 1 + 1 = 1. Why should it matter, you might be asking? Well, number one, because God defines it. And when God defines it, we don't get to rewrite it. And number two, have you ever noticed how many times in Scripture our relationship with God is described in terms of love, faithfulness, purity? We serve a jealous God, and that's a good thing. He hates anything that would come between him and us. Do we take our marriage vows seriously, pledging to forsake all others? In both cases, our relationship with our spouse and our relationship with God, this word forsake means the same thing. You know, if a cute person walks in front of you and you notice, that's not sin. But if your eyes linger, if you think about what they're wearing, if you think it might be fun to get to know them just a little bit, you've crossed a line, and your spouse is probably going to let you know it. Is it any different with our relationship with Jesus? Sin is all around us. We would have to have bags over our heads not to see it. But do we linger? Do we think we might just like to get to know that sin just a little better? Dr. David Jeremiah, in his book, I Never Thought I'd See the Day, dedicates a chapter to the subject of spiritual warfare. One chapter, titled, I Never Thought I'd See the Day When Christians Wouldn't Know They Were in a War, relates our spiritual warfare to actual combat. He references a warfare manual that is popular study for many military leaders, The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu's principle number 18 states, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. If you know yourself but not the enemy, for every victory gained, you will also suffer a defeat. If you know neither the enemy nor yourself, you will succumb in every battle. This is the reason Moses sent spies into the promised land. This is the same reason Joshua did it when they came back around after 40 years of wandering in the desert. Jesus Christ recommended taking a measure of yourself and the enemy in Luke 14. In learning our enemy, it becomes clear that we are not fighting against people, but against someone much darker and more powerful. John Phillips of the Moody Bible Institute gives his perspective in saying, our enemies are not people. We must see beyond people. Satan may use people to persecute us, lie to us, cheat us, hurt us, or even kill us. But our real enemy lurks in the shadows of the unseen world, moving people as pawns on the chessboard of time. As long as we see people as enemies and wrestle against them, we will spend our strength in vain. This is not a new problem, but as sin continues to break down our world it becomes ever more vital that we take an active role. A.W. Tozer, in his 2009 book, This World, Playground or Battleground, wrote, "In the early days when Christianity exercised a dominant influence of American thinking, men conceived the world to be a battleground. Our fathers believed in sin and the devil and hell as constituting one force, and they believed in God and righteousness and heaven as the other. Man had to choose sides. He couldn't be neutral. If we choose to come out on God's side, he could expect open war with God's enemies. Satan the deceiver lulls many of us into thinking he doesn't exist. We go through life indifferent to the evil we encounter every day. So the very first thing we must realize is knowing our enemy. We must recognize that he exists and is very active. If we refer to Genesis chapter 3, we see some early words of Satan. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say? Now for those of us who do not step out in boldness and faith, there really is very little reason to come to the conclusion that Satan is real. We stay safely out of Satan's way and he leaves us alone. Why bother with us if we're no threat? Those who do step out in boldness, declaring the name of Jesus to all people, the attacks are much more numerous and dangerous. Yet we're called to do just that. Paul's letter to the Ephesians instructs them and us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Take a moment and look at that slide and count the number of times in these verses Paul uses the word against. Knowing our enemy is only part of the picture. Do you know who commands the heavenly forces that fight for us? Do you know how much he wants to build a personal relationship with you? Do you realize that Satan built this impassable wall between us and God, that we can never do anything that will overcome that wall, yet it falls to dust under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know him? Friend, if you haven't allowed Jesus into your heart, if you don't know why you need him, let's talk. Don't go out that door without finding out what the love of Jesus can mean in your life. For those of you who do know him, are you sharing him? Are you demonstrating his love in your daily walk? Or would your friends be surprised to find out that you're a Christian? So you know who the enemy is. You know who's on your side in the battle, and you know there is a battle to be waged. Now what? Let us pray. Almighty Father, what a glorious morning to come together and to hear from your word, to learn some of the things that you would have us know so that we can be well-armed and well-covered by your word. Help us as we step out these doors. Help us to be missionaries and warriors in your name. Help us to get out of your way and let you speak through us, through our actions, through our deeds, and through our words. Thank you for the work that you do in the lives of everyone here, those lives of our loved ones that aren't with us here this morning. Help us to keep our eyes on you always. Guide us in all that we do. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
From 1 Corinthians 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat of the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whether it be someone far off in Haiti or someone right next door, open our hearts to their needs, and may you empower us to help them. And through that act of helping them, let us display your love, not our good works, but your hand in helping others, that they too may know your love and your truth. We remember what you have done for us in taking this communion, the blood and the bread representing your very life given for us. Help us to remember that each day as we go through the week, that we may share that love with others. To God be the glory. Amen.
As we come to the end of our service today, I'd just like to share a couple of parting thoughts. The Great Commission is given to all of us. We just need to search God's will and find out where he would send us, whether it would be to the far reaches of the earth, to our co-workers, to those that we meet each and every day that maybe we don't take the time to get to know, maybe those who are hard to love. I also wanted to revisit a topic that Scott mentioned shortly before he left for Africa, and that is a definite praise for this church. Our kids went to church camp this year. And if you would, I'd like those kids to stand up, because what's represented by these children that are standing up are kids that have declared their love for Jesus and their reliance on him in guiding their life. And that's something we can celebrate. Let's pray. Almighty Father, wow, what a glorious day you've laid before us. As each of us comes to that time of decision to know you, to trust you, we are so grateful for that opportunity. We thank you for these youth that have declared their love for you. We're thankful for our efforts that you bless when we go out into our community. We're thankful for the people that will interact with our IFCA representatives down at the park today. We're thankful that as we leave these doors, you go with us and you guide us if we would but stay out of the way and allow you to work our lives. We thank you for this place that we can gather together and learn about you and pray about what you would have each of us do in your will. We thank you for your Son, our risen Savior, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul on fire.
Thanks so much for worshiping with us this morning. We trust you had a good experience here and that you'll come back again. Have a great day, have a great week, and we'll see you next Sunday.